prayer and ask your continued interest in your prayers. If you'd like to turn with us to our text this morning, you'll find it in 1 John chapter 4. 1 John 4. What's on our heart this morning to preach is the love of God. Now that's a huge, huge subject. And we could go in a lot of directions with that. But when you consider, you see, well, let me read a text. That'll be a good introduction, wouldn't it? 1 John chapter 4, verse 8. He that loveth not knoweth not God. For God is love. Now, God is a whole lot more. But he is love. And we need a proper understanding of what love is all about to understand more about how God is love. Because much of what we're exposed to in the world today that people call love usually doesn't amount to anything more than lust. But God's love is different. And God calls upon us to love each other like he loves us. And so we need to understand what kind of love that is so that we can properly show love one to another and thereby give glory to him who loved us first. Because that's the only way we can love him. So we understand that not everyone loves God. I wish they did. This world would be a better place if they did, but they don't. All right? So those who do love him, then bless your hearts, we need to understand the kind of love that we're to have so that we can properly represent him and the love that he's given to us, that we can properly show that love to others so that we can, again, bring glory to his name. 1 John 4:19, if you turned over to the, in my Bible, it's the next page, but might be on the same page with yours. But verse 19, he says, we love him because he first loved us. That's the only way anybody can love God, is for God to love them first. Because man by nature is not going to seek after God. He's not going to love God. He's not going to make choices that are pleasing to God. It doesn't enter his mind to try to please God. He's only out to please himself. And so until God has shown us his love and has blessed us to understand something about the kind of love that he has, which is different from the kind of natural love that people, natural affections that people have in this life, then bless your heart, the more we understand about the kind of love God has for us, the better equipped we are to love one another as we're commanded in the scriptures. Remember Jesus said in John chapter 13, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples. Well, if he's plain enough to tell us that here is the identifying mark of a disciple of Jesus Christ, don't we need to know what that mark is? Absolutely. Don't we want to be able to manifest that to others? All right, well, he said, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples if you have love, if you have love one to another. Not just for another. You know, we'll go there. We can have love for somebody. Maybe we don't see them very much. And we can in ourselves, we can feel like that we have love for them. But unless you express it, unless you tell them about it, unless you do something that shows it, they don't have anything to base it on as to whether or not you really still love them or not, right? You know, it's not like the guy that when he got married, he told his wife, I love you, and if anything changes, I'll let you know. That's not the way we go about it, is it? All right? So, verse 8 told us, he that loveth not knoweth not God. Well, that tells me then, the more we know him, the more loving we're going to be. Doesn't it do you good to remember the mercy that God has for you?
Absolutely.
Doesn't it do you good to remember the great, great things that God has done for us? That which we could not do, that which we could never do of ourselves. God has done that for us. And he didn't wait for us to ask. He didn't wait for us to come to him for the help. He, by his own purpose, saved his people from their sins, sent his precious son to this world, his only begotten son, to die upon a cross, shed his precious blood, to redeem us from our sins. And bless your hearts, then he sends his spirit into our heart when it pleases him, because he's sovereign, which means he's the supreme authority. And only until then do we begin to understand something about the love of God. If God is love, and he is, we've already established that, but if God is love, shouldn't those who claim to be his children be showing that love? Okay. That's the identifying mark, right? So we need to be showing that love. We need to be showing a love for him. How do we do that? I know it's a lot to ask you to think, but how do we do that? How is it that we're going to show to others that we love God? Yes, isn't it going to be out of the decisions that we make in life? That when we're faced with decisions and whatever we decide upon, does that reflect that we love God? Or does that, you know, let me ask you another question to kind of get into this thought that I'm trying to get to. For whom will you do the most? Who do you do the most for? Those you love? Yeah. Well, that was quick. Thank you. I appreciate that. All right, we're going to do the most for those we love. So then you look at someone's life and you see what they're doing the most of and for whom they're doing it, and you'll find out who they love the most, won't you? Sometimes you'll find they love themselves the most. Ooh. Is that right? Yes. Because it's a true principle. You jumped on it right away. Those that we love the most will do the most for them. And so when we look at the choices and the decisions that we've been making, we'll find out who we love the most. That can be a sobering thought. Do our decisions reflect that we love God the most? Isn't he worthy of most of our love, the highest of our love and affections? You know, thankfully, the way God has set this life up, we can love each other tremendously. We can love our families. We can love our friends. We can love each other just tremendously. And we can do that best when we're loving God first. But when we're not putting God first, we're putting something else or someone else first. And that becomes a problem, and that can become a frustration in life, and that can become a source of confusion, and it's just not God's order. God has told us. And if we're blessed to know Him, if we have His Spirit, if God has shown us His love to us first so that we have the blessed opportunity and the privilege to show love back to Him in return, then bless your hearts, that needs to be shown to him to show and to prove. You know, one of the things we talked about, how we show his love, I also heard that when we keep his commandments, and that's exactly right. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. So when we see someone keeping the commandments of God and following the word of God and not picking and choosing what they want to follow, but they're trying to apply themselves to the word of God and follow the word of God, then when we see that, we're seeing that they're saying by their actions and by their life that they love God. It's the safest love you can invest. Because he'll never, ever let you down. He's not going away. There's going to come a time in this life when mom and daddy's gone. I've learned that. Mine been gone a long time. Oh, but I'm so thankful for the mothers and fathers in Israel. They're still here. I'm thankful for good friends. I'm thankful for the love of God. I'm thankful for so much. God's not going to leave us. And we take a trip sometimes to leave him behind. Okay? Now I understand scripture says, you know, there's nowhere you can go to flee from the presence of the Lord. We talked about that last Sunday. But in your mind, you can leave. In your mind, in your heart, you can leave him behind. You know that's right. And so we need to be mindful of his love, mindful of his grace, mindful of his blessings, mindful of his provisions, mindful of all that he is and all that he's doing and all that he has done and all that he's promised that he will yet do for us. Because he knows exactly what our needs are and he's the one who's able to supply them. All right? So, when we have a proper view of God and his love, well, when we have a proper view of God, we will see his love being manifested to his people. A proper view of God. He's not just the judge that sits and judges. He's our heavenly Father. Isn't that wonderful? That now, bless your hearts, we're able, because of what Jesus has told us, because of the things that he taught us when he was here in his ministry, and the word that we have on record for us, he's our Father. Our Father in heaven. He taught us to pray that way. The gift of the Holy Spirit enables us to cry. Romans chapter 8 tells us the Spirit enables us to cry, Abba, Father, our Father. We're able by the Spirit to claim that relationship, that he is our Father. Without that Spirit, you won't have the desire within you to call upon him as your Father. Oh, but with it, we call upon him as Abba, Father. And so, we'll begin to see the love that God has for his people. Then the proper response from us is to make the kind of choices in life and to live the kind of life each day and to rejoice in those things that will reflect the love of God to others. Don't you just love to be around somebody that loves God? Don't you know, I used to have to travel around the country and work with strangers all the time, and And what a blessing it was that to go into an office and meet the people and begin to visit with them a little bit, and you begin to feel the love of God in their life. The very way they conducted themselves, the kindness, the compassion that they would show. It just doesn't take long to figure that out, does it? I mean, sometimes you just feel it right away. And I hope that we're that kind of person when we go around. If we don't feel it from others, then it's our opportunity to show that to someone else. So our proper response to the love, if indeed, and the word says, we love him because he first loved us, then bless your hearts, our proper response is to love him and to love one another. All right? So, now, when you read this verse of Scripture, that word for love there, the agape love, we're not talking about just friendship love. We're talking about the kind of love God has, agape, all right? That word. Now, we can get it from the English, but in the original language, there were several words that represented love. But this one is the kind of love God has. Think about the kind of love God has for us. Is it not everlasting? Is it not unconditional? Oh, as we think about God's love and the kind of love that he has for us. All right? And something else about that kind of love. It always provides what's needed to the one being loved. Let that sink in for a second. That kind of love provides what is needed. It may not be what they want. It may not be what they think they need. But it has that kind of love provides what is needed. Now, we try to do that, don't we? We try to provide what is needed by those we love. And we do the very best job we can to try to provide that love, don't we? All right? But what about God? You see, he can do that in perfection. Because he knows exactly what that need is. He knows exactly when we need it. He knows exactly all the other things involved. You know, sometimes circumstances affect the way that we can demonstrate our love. Well, God knows all that. And sometimes we're in confusing circumstances and we'd like to do something, but maybe we don't know how, or maybe we're not able to do what we need to do. But not so with God. He can always do exactly what is needed, and he knows when to do it, how much to do, and he's not limited in any way in providing what is needed. Now keep that thought in mind, that God's love is what's provided, always provided, because of what's needed by the person that's loved. That's the way God loves us. Isn't that wonderful? You know, God's never given us something that wasn't appropriate. He's never given us the wrong kind. He's never given it to us the wrong time. You see, that's the way God has loved us. And if you want an illustration of what I'm trying to express here, think about what happened with Adam and Eve. After man was created, and God looked at all the animals, and there was not an help found meet for him. So what'd God do? Oh, well, make do with what you got. No, that's not what God did. God made a woman because he loved. You ever thought about that? In his love, he made and provided to Adam what was needed. You know, the first thing you find in Scripture that's not good is that it's not good that man should be alone. All right? So just look at what God did there. demonstrating the kind of love that he had for Adam, showing us the kind of love he has for us, he did what was needed. How wonderful. How wonderful is God's love for us. All right. Again, thinking about God's love. John 3:16. You can quote it with me, can't you? All right. God so loved the world. And we understand that's the world of his elect. That's the world he loved. All right. God so loved the world. What happened? He gave. You could stop right there. He gave. And what did he give? He gave what was needed. He gave the very best. He gave something that would benefit us eternally. I mean, you just think of what God gave us. He gave us his son. And all the glory of what Jesus did for us as he died to pay our sin debt. And bless your hearts, that redemption, that payment is eternal. You know, Hebrews 9:12, by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. When he paid that debt, it's paid. You're not going to add to it to where there's something else that needs to be paid. Bless your hearts, Jesus paid the entire debt the first time when he died on the cross, when he shed his precious blood. It was paid.
Right. That's right.
That's what the Bible tells us. He's not waiting for us to do anything to appropriate it to us. It's done. Jesus said it's finished. He finished all that the Father sent him to do.
That's right.
He gave. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Do you believe in him this morning? If you're a believer, it was paid for you. Jesus came and died for you. That's the good news of the gospel. You don't have to meet all these requirements. You don't have to figure it out. You don't have to follow some recipe or whatever. Bless your hearts. If you feel that desire in your heart, if you understand that you're a sinner, if you realize that you've come short of the glory of God, if you feel condemnation for your sins, bless your heart, that's an evidence of eternal life. And the good news of the gospel is that Jesus came to save his people from their sins. And he did it. He finished it. It's done. Heaven will be your home. But there's plenty that we need to do while we live this life to show our appreciation, our gratitude, and our thanksgiving for what he has done for us. And that should be the heart of our affections. That should be the foremost in our minds, is to do what's pleasing unto him. You get that straight, then we can do all these other things in a way that would be pleasing in his sight. All right? So, that love, God so loved the world that he gave, that illustrates his love. You go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We won't take time to go through the chapter, but Paul has a few introductory verses about if you do this and if you do that, you know, it's worthless. But he begins to talk about charity. The whole chapter is talking about charity, the kind of love that God has for us, a sacrificial love, an unending love. And you began to see as you read 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it's active. It's a love that's being expressed. Let's see. Let me turn a little bit to it. I'll read a little bit of it. 1 Corinthians 13. All right. I'll begin in verse 4. I've already given you the introduction. He says, charity suffereth long. I'm not going to define all these terms, but just listen. It's understandable language. Just listen to how love is described. It's not just a feeling. It's what you do with it that communicates that love from one to another. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Can we be kind? Can we be long-suffering? Charity envieth not. Be happy when someone else is blessed. Be happy when someone else is prospering. Be happy when someone else is overcoming some things. Let's not be envious. Charity vaunteth not itself. You go first. I'd rather you have it. Don't worry about getting whether or not, you know, some people, the way they live their lives, they always give the other folks short end of the stick. Vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Humility is a great virtue, and we're taught to live our life that way, humbly, walking humbly with our God. It doth not behave itself unseemly. There's a way for the children of God to conduct themselves. There's a way for us to talk. There's a way for us to make decisions. There's a way for us to live our lives. And it's spelled out for us in His Word. Oh, it's not all on one page. Sorry. There's no cliff notes. The best way we can learn it is to read it on a regular basis. And let the Holy Spirit minister to your mind. You could pray about it and decide what you need to, you know, the Spirit will lead you in what you need to read. But my point is, we're living in a culture today where it's just, everybody wants it so fast. You know, if you're going to tell somebody, tell it to me in 15 seconds, because I'm not going to listen any longer than that. You know, we want it all organized. We want it all in one piece, you know. But God gave it to us in the way that He knows is best. And by faith, we need to be reading it. By faith, we need to be thinking about it. By faith, it needs to be guiding us in all that we do each day so that we can sound like Him, so that we can look like Him, so that we can show that our love for Him is first and foremost. All right. We could take more time in 1 Corinthians 15, but what I'm trying to illustrate here is these are passages, they're well-known passages, and what they illustrate to us is the nature of the love that God has for us. Okay? Now, and we could go to, well, I will go, Romans chapter 5. What I'm after is a contrast here. I've given you two outstanding illustrations of God's love, John 3:16, 1 Corinthians 13. Those are tremendous illustrations showing us God's love for us. But listen, here's a contrast, Romans chapter 5. And we'll begin in verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for those that got their act together. For those that were looking for Him. For those that were good enough. Christ died for the ungodly. What he's saying is, by nature, we weren't looking for God. There was no virtue in our ungodliness. We just simply weren't looking for God, but God came to us first. We love Him because He first loved us. He came to us first. All right? In due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Not only is this love tremendous, but He did it for us when we were ungodly. He came to us without us going to Him. Look at the great gulf here between the kind of love He has expressed to us and the kind of love that we in turn give Him. And that's for a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the greatest area for us to work on to improve in our relationship with our Lord. He established the relationship, but we need to improve the fellowship, don't we? We need to improve the communion, enjoying being with our Lord and thinking about His goodness and mercy and communing with Him in meditation and prayer. Oh, bless your hearts, as we think about that, what a wonderful blessing it is. So, when we see more and learn more about the kind of love that He has for us, it helps us to be better equipped to not only love God better, because that's our job as a disciple. You know, if we claim to be His disciple, but there's nothing that we can see in that person's life that's showing the love of God, I have to wonder about that. Okay? Now, I'm not saying that if they once shown that and they're not now, I'm not saying they never were a child of God. What I'm saying is that that's an area that we all can improve on, in showing our love for God. And it needs to be shown in everything we do each day. I'm not saying we spend the day saying, "I love the Lord." But your actions need to say, "I love the Lord" every day, all day long. Okay? We need to go about what we do in a way that shows that love. All right? Now, so, He loved us first. And that's what I've dwelt on. So, but I got to move on here. But so far, we've talked about the kind of love that God has for us. And I've talked about how we need to love Him. But in Romans 8 and 29, Romans chapter 8, wonderful, glorious chapter of the things that God has done for us. But in Romans chapter 8, verse 29, He says, "For whom He did foreknow, them He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren." For whom He did foreknow. Brethren, that expression goes far beyond just having a knowledge. That expression tells us that God set His love upon us before the world was. And it wasn't just a blanket statement of like you'd pass a law and says whoever meets these requirements, it would apply to them at some point. No, God knew us individually. Well, how do you know that, preacher? Well, I quote it quite often. 2 Timothy 2:19. "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure." That foundation being that what God purposed to do and what He sent His Son to this world to accomplish and what He has finished for the benefit of all that He loved before the foundation of the world. "Nevertheless," Paul said, "the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His." So when He set His love upon us in eternity past, if you will, He saw us individually. He knew us individually. Paul wrote that 2,000 years ago, and plenty of his people hadn't been born by that time. And I suspect that simply because Jesus hasn't come back, there are others of his children who haven't yet been born into this world. Nevertheless, 2,000 years ago, the Apostle Paul, by the inspiration of the Spirit, could say, "The Lord knoweth them that are His." That tells us that God knew us individually when He set His love upon us in His foreknowledge. That foreknowledge is an intimate knowledge. He knew us intimately. He loved us. Bless your hearts. That's the kind of love God has for us. John, 1 John 3 and 1 would say, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." Oh, think about what manner of love that is. It's a wonderful thing to think about. All right? look at, if we continue reading from our text, the next two verses, 1 John 4, verses 9 and 10. Listen, he says, "In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him." Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. And that big word propitiation simply means he gave himself for our sins. He was a substitute for us. What we justly deserved, he took upon himself. And in doing so, he paid the sin debt for all that he came to save. If God, herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. He loves us tremendously. Doesn't that deserve that we should respond to him each day? Doesn't he deserve, with all that he's done for us and all that we're blessed to understand and what he's done for us, doesn't that deserve that we should give him our heart's affection each day? Yes. First and foremost? Yes. Okay. Now, not only has he loved us, there's more to it, isn't it? We're to love him. We're to respond to him, all right, like I've just been talking about. David in Psalm 116, he starts out by saying, I love the Lord because. I love the Lord because. I'd encourage you to spend some time, maybe not right now, but in the next few days, spend some time. Take that phrase, I love the Lord because. See how you can fill it out. And give it some time. I'm not talking about just one answer. I'm talking about give it some time and think about the reasons why you love God. The first one would have to be, you love him because he first loved you. In other words, God took the time to show his love to you and manifest himself to you and bless you to know who he is and what he has done. All right, so if he loved us, we're to love him. Just think about that kind of love that he has for us. Think about the kind of love that we've been showing to him. Could it improve? You know, his love for us couldn't be any better. He's perfect. He perfectly shows us his love. He might do more of it in the way of manifesting it in different ways, but his love to us could not be any better. But our love to him could improve greatly, and it should improve greatly, because that's the identifying mark of a child of God. A disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. By this shall all men know that you're my disciple if you have love one to another. Well, I don't see how you can have love for God's people without having love for God. Okay? And really in 1 John 5 verse 1, he goes through that. He says, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. Okay, so if we love God, then we love God's people because we're all part of the same family. Bless your hearts. The only way that we could ever be a part of the family is that he chose us in Christ, that we're adopted in him, that bless your hearts, that someday he's going to take us home to be with him. Jesus is the only begotten of the Father, but he has adopted the rest of us into the family. What a blessing that is. Oh, think about it. So not only he loves us, we're to love him. Remember Matthew 22, when the lawyer came to Jesus and said, what's the great commandment? Which is the greatest commandment? And the answer was, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, thy soul, thy mind. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Wow. All of the teaching of the law and the prophets is summed up in that principle. Loving God and loving one another. Some people have expressed it as having a vertical relationship, you know, loving God, and the horizontal, loving one another. Well, that forms a cross, doesn't it? That's where the greatest expression of love was found. When Jesus was nailed to that cross, shed his precious blood. Why? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's what God did for us. Can't we say thank you? Can't we show our love in a greater way? Loving one another. You know, in heaven, God is surrounded by love. You know, we read that he is love, and he's surrounded with love. And we as believers, now listen carefully. We as believers can be overflowing with the love of God. Have you ever had those experiences in life where you it was just so full, you just felt like it was just overflowing? I hope you have. Those are wonderful times, aren't they? Wonderful seasons. When we just feel so much of the love of God, it just feels like it's just overflowing. What a blessing that is. All right? So, God is love. He's surrounded in heaven with praises and adoration of him because he's worthy of it. Even the heavens declare the glory of God, and they don't do that just on Tuesdays and Thursdays and closed on holidays. They do it 24/7, 365 days out of the year. And a fourth. So when we think about all that God is, the more we spend some time thinking about God's love to us, the more we ought to be feeling that love just flowing out of us. And you know, we've said many times that the best way to have more love, give it away. Keep giving it away. Give it all away if you can. The more we give away love, the more we have ourselves. That is a faithful saying. And it's one we ought to practice every day. Giving love away. That's what God did. He gave us his love. And bless your hearts, we ought to be showing that love back to him. Now, I worded that carefully. If we're believers, God's love can be flowing from us. But is it automatic? Really? I mean, he's given us his spirit. The spirit's there. You're not going to be unborn again. But is that love going to be shown automatically? Well, there may be things that we will do because the Spirit's there working in us, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. But I'll tell you something. We need to work it, showing more, and I'll say better, love to one another. See, God's expression to us is perfect, but our reflection of that is lacking. It can be lacking. Sometimes it's not even visible, right? So, see, this is so fundamental. And let me give you some illustrations of this principle. When Jesus arose again and appeared to Peter, remember when Peter went a-fishing? And finally they realized Jesus was on the bank, and I'm skipping a lot here, but when Jesus began to question Peter, what did Jesus question Peter about? Peter, are you going to be faithful to me this time? Are you going to deny me again? What did he question him about? What was the most important thing for Jesus to ask Peter? Lovest thou me? That's it. Because if you can get that right, we can work these other things out. We can learn how to do these other things. We can figure out a way to do the other, but we got to have the love, the motivation, the energy, and the desire to work on it. And you're not going to have it without love. Lovest thou me? The Lord had great things for Peter to do. But there had to be, and I'm not saying that, I'm not saying it hinged upon his answers here. What I'm saying is the Lord focused and reminded Peter, yes, he denied him. Yes, he miserably denied him. But the important thing is, do you love me? You're going to be feeding my sheep. You're going to be feeding my lambs. I've called you to do that. But if you don't love me, I don't want you feeding my lambs. I don't want you feeding my sheep. Do you love me? That was the issue. All right, how about the messages to the seven churches of Asia? The very first one, Ephesus. What was the issue? Oh, there's a lot of good things going on there. A lot of faith, a lot of understanding. They were doing a lot of good things. But the Lord said, I have somewhat against you. Because thou hast left thy first love. We got to get that right. Because these other things are not going to amount to anything without the proper love. See? See how fundamental and how important this is to the ongoing effort. It's got to be there. And it's got to be nurtured. And it's got to be, you got to give some effort to it. And think about it. We let things slip if we don't think about things sometimes. There's things that we forget. There's things that we're not mindful of and careful to maintain if we're not thinking about it. If our mind is totally on something else. And the scriptures teach us how that we can get our mind and our heart so full of other things that it'll choke out the effect of the word. Matthew 13, Luke chapter 8, okay? And in Luke, when he talks about how that the cares of this world, the riches and the cares of this world and all those things choke out the effect of the word and they bring no fruit to perfection. You see, it stops the whole process until we get the love right, until we give proper attention to the love. And any relationship, you have to maintain. You have to invest in that. You have to keep working at it. It's fundamental to the ongoing effort. If you don't have it, you're not going to get very far. And it's not going to be the kind of joy and contentment that we could have otherwise. That love has to be there. That love has to be nurtured. His love for us is perfect. But our love for him could stand great improvement. So, if we worked hard at this, it is the identifying mark of a disciple. If we have love one to another, if we do a better job of loving God and loving one another, if we do a better job of doing that, then we're in a better position to love our families and to love our friends. Would it make this life a little better? Whatever we can do in this regard, it'll add quality to our life. It'll add some peace with God. And listen, if you've got peace with God, you've got a precious thing. If you've got peace with God, then you can stand to work on peace with others. If you're not in peace with God, you're not going to get very far with others. So, we can stand to improve that. So, and if we could do that, then how much less wickedness. You know, if more people concentrate, I'm not saying that that's all we got to do. I'm just saying that's where we start, and that's where we make progress in our love for God. Then we grow in our understanding of other things when we get our heart right with the Lord. So how much less problems? We're always going to have problems, but sometimes we create our own problems. So we could avoid a lot of heartaches. We could avoid a lot of confusion. We could avoid a lot of other problems and greed and selfishness and just utter rebellion. Boy, wait a minute, preacher. That's a strong word, rebellion. Well, look, what else do you call when somebody chooses not to follow God's word? If they take the personal preference to go another way when God's word says you need to do this, and they decide, nope, I'm going to do this. That's rebellion. Plain and simple. And it takes its toll. Oh, may God help us to realize how needful we need to pay attention to the great, great love that God has manifested to us. And respond in a way of thanksgiving and gratitude to what we have, the opportunity we have each day to live our lives in a way that would show forth to others that we love God, because we're keeping His commandments, because we're making choices based upon His word, because we're doing that which is pleasing in His sight. We'll have more peace with Him. Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing to do? And see, as I pondered this and prayed about it, it seemed like it's been a while since we've focused on that particular aspect of God's love. I mean, like I said, this is a tremendous subject. We could go in many directions with this. But bless your hearts, if we can somehow remember and carry with us in a way that shows more that we are mindful of the love of God, we are thankful for it, we're showing appreciation by the way we live, bless your hearts, I believe you'll see more of the other fruit of the Spirit manifesting itself in each of our lives. It's a worthy goal. It's a goal that would glorify God. It's a goal that would benefit you personally. It would benefit your family. It would benefit the church. It would benefit your community. It would benefit all of us to live in more godliness and walk in ways that would be pleasing in His sight. I want to close from Romans 13. Romans 13. Let's begin in verse 8. Let's read a few verses here. Romans 13, verse 8. Owe no man anything but to love one another. Now, we owe that. That's a debt we'll never pay. But that's a good kind of debt, isn't it? Because that helps us to understand, or keeps us in memory, the fact that we're one of God's children. And God has shown us such mercy and has given us such forgiveness that because of that, then we need to be forgiving and loving toward others. Okay? So, owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. And just as so many times we find in Scripture, when we have these great statements of the faith and these principles, then we have a great exhortation following it. Because we come short. Because we leave things off. Because we don't do as we should many times. And so we're fine. Paul says, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Oh, as we think about how that God has blessed us with his word. He's shown us his great love. He's manifested to us in so many ways. The psalmist says that he daily loadeth us with benefits. And surely, we need to move our lips every day and say, thank you, Lord. Every day, we need to honor his word and follow his ways. Because that's the way that we can say, we love you, Lord. If we do this, if we can get this right, then it'll help us to grow in other areas. But if we ignore this, we don't have what we need to grow in these other things. Oh, may God help these things to sink down in our ears and find a lodging place in our heart and bring forth much fruit in the days ahead. May God bless you is our prayer.